You are listening to BensTorah.com.
I'm a Reb Yudin Bar Reb Shimon. Behemos v'Leviosa. Now, the Behemos is a great monster of the land, as described in Yehov, chapter 40. And the Leviosan, of course, is a great sea creature, a monstrous sea creature, also described a few psukim later in Yehov, chapter 40. So the Medrash says, Behemos v'Leviosan hein Knigin shel tzaddikim lo'asilavo. They are beasts. Knigin is a very rare word. It means beasts of contest, of conflict, for the righteous in the future era. Olam haba. They, in other words, they will fight. They will fight to the death. The chomish lo ra knigin shel uma sa'ilam ba'ilam hazeh zeiche l'roisim lo'ilam haba. Whoever amongst the tzaddikim who are zeiche to go to the olam haba, who never witnessed a gladiatorial spectacle in their lives in this world, put on by the Goyim, will be zeichet to see this fight to the death of the Leviosan and the Behemos. And this qualification is who never saw it. It's not just who never saw it because they didn't have an interest in it, but there's a pasuk in Hosea that they bring down, the Mefarshim bring down, Al tismach Yisrael el gil ka'amim. Exalt not Israel like the exaltation of the peoples. In other words, we're not allowed to go to these spectacles like the lion, you know, the gladiators in the Roman Forum and all these type of things. One, because it's Moshe of Leitzim. Two, because it's Bittul Torah. And three, it's Tzar Bali Chaim. So there are various reasons that they give, but it's mamash also to go to these events. So whoever amongst the tzaddikim who are going to go to Olam Haba, who never went to such a spectacle in this world, will be zeichet to see the fight to the death in Olam Haba between these two monstrous creatures. Okay, now the Medrash at this point now knows that after they slaughter, they will slaughter each other, and afterwards Hashem will serve a great suda to the tzaddikim from the flesh of these two creatures. So the Medrash asks, Ketzad hem nishchatim, how will they be shechted? So it answers, Behemos noseis leviyasim bekarna bekarai. The Behemos, which is also called the Shur Habar, will thrust into the leviyasim with his horns and tear it. The leviyasim noseis lebehemos kesnapirov necharai. And the leviyasim will thrust into the behemoth with its fins and pierce it through and through like this. Like this. Now, in other words, the behemoth will gore the leviathan, and the leviathan with its fins will slice the behemoth. So the Medrash says a problem. The Argus says chamim aimrim, but the Mefarshim take it out and say that tzaddikim aimrim. In other words, Hashem's going to serve this flat, this buser to the tzaddikim, and they're going to have a problem with it, the tzaddikim. Others just delete it altogether, and the Medrash is going to ask the question. But this is the question: zush shchita ksherehi? Is this a proper shchita, referring to the slaughter of the behemoths? But didn't we learn in a Mishnah in Chulin, in the first parak of Chulin, Hakol Shechtim, everyone may shecht, meaning even a mumar. And then they reverse this thing, the order over here. So we're going to read it in the right order, as it appears in the Mishnah and the Gemara over there in Chulin. So it says Hakol Shechtim, Ula'ilam Shechtim, and you can always slaughter even at night. And b'chol shaychtin, and we may slaughter with anything, any smooth, sharp implement you can slaughter an animal. Chutz mi magol hakatzir, a harvesting sickle, mi migera, a saw, mi shinayim, and from teeth, from the jawbone of an animal. Because they, it means because they tear. In other words, a shechita has to be the cutting of the trachea and the esophagus, a smooth cut, and not a tear. And the fins of the leviathan are serrated, and therefore they will render the behemoth a trefa. So the tzaddikim said, how can you service this? He gives trade. I mean, so the Medrash answers, Rav Avin Bar Kahana says, Kodesh, Amar Kodesh Baruch Hu, Torah Chadasha Me'iti Seitzei, a new instruction will go forth for me. This is a paraphrase of a pasuk in Yeshaya, which the Medrash darshens to mean, Chiddush Torah Me'iti Seitzei, a novel, anomalous instruction will go forth from me. The meaning is the Eitz Yosef and all the Mepharshim say, Hashem is going to issue a Harar Shah, a special one-time dispensation that the tzaddikim can eat the trefa busser of the behemos at this great Suda in Olam Haba. And now the Medrash turns to the Suda itself, discussing the Suda itself. Amar Rav Brechiah b'shem Rav Yitzchak, Aristein osi HaKadosh Baruch Hu lasos la'avodim ha'tzadikim la'asi lavoi. Hashem is going to make a feast for his servants, the righteous, in the future era. V'chol mi shelo ochol nevelus b'olam hazeh zeicha l'raiso. And whoever never ate nevelos, and nevelos just stands for all malchalos asuras, who had never ever ate an iota of malchalos asuras in this world, will be zeichet to see. The lashon is see it, but it means to eat from it, because the mafarshim explains the medrash is just using lashon that parallels the seeing the fight, but it means that they will be zeichet to eat by ilam haba. So that is the medrash. It's a pleiadikim medrash. I mean, you can't even wrap your head around it. First of all, we're talking about these two creatures, which are so big that some say it's the biggest of the world. I mean, we're talking about huge, huge creatures. And so the question obviously arises, are we talking about actual creatures? Are we talking about these are just metaphors? These are just symbolic representations of deep spiritual concepts. So that's the first question. What are we talking about here? Is it going to be an actual fight to the death? Is it going to be an actual Suda? Or these are just spirit? These are just the Medrash is only speaking metaphorically. And then I think that's one thing. But I think what really bothers me is that I want you to picture the biggest tzaddik you ever saw in your life. Reb Moshe, I saw the Stipler. Go back and then go back to the Chavetz Chaim. We saw the video. And then go back to Rav Yeager, and then the Rambam, and Ravina, Ravashi. I mean, go all the way back to Moshe Rabbeinu. Great, great tzaddik, the biggest tzaddikim. What reward and what spiritual delight will they have in watching the fight to the death of the behemoth and the Leviathan? A bloody, barbaric entertainment of the guys. What's going on over here? It just makes absolutely no sense. And also, by the same token, what reward and spiritual delight will it be for them to eat from the busser trefa? Oh, they get a heter, one-time heter to eat from it, but it's going to bother them, right? It's really going to bother the tzaddikim. It's just like incomprehensible. It's mamish incomprehensible. And another thing, the third kasha that I would ask is that we have the eating of the busser of the behemoth, which is essentially non-kosher food, we had to have a Harosh Shah. We had to have a special heter. But it's also, I brought down from Hosea, that it's also us to see the spectacle of a gladiatorial contest, a fight to the death between animals, between man and animals. It's us for a yid to watch this. And yet the Medrash doesn't offer any, Harosh Shah, any special dispensation. So why does the eating from the busser of the behemoth need a Harosh Shah, but not the witnessing of the fight to the death? Those are the questions I want to work with. I think we have to get a little bit overview of what Agada or Medrash is. And the place to start and the most, the paramount explanation is that of the Ramchal. Ramchal has an essay called Maimer al Haggadah. If you have the two-volume Sefer, it's by me it's small, it's the Yakut Yediyas HaEmes, it's printed in there, And it's also printed at the beginning of every set of the Ein Yaakov. So it's called Maimer Al HaGadus by the Ramchal. And if I can put a plug in from my friend and colleague at Art School, Rabbi Abba Tzvi Neyman from Baltimore, he did a translation and a treatment, an annotated translation of this Maimer and two others together in one sefer. It's already out. I think the Targum put it out. So anyway, the Ramchal says like this. There are basically two types of agadic statements. There's what we call limudim, teachings, which are principles of wisdom, whether ethical or theological, and then beyurim, commentaries, which are, as it sounds, the explanations of the psukim. So this, both of these, meaning the aggregate of the agadita, was part of the Tersha Baal Peh. And initially, it was us to write it down. But as the generations went on, and the Torah and the quality of learning was decreasing, and the Torah was being forgotten, so the Pasuk Eis La'asos La'Hashem Hefiru Torah Secho was invoked, and they wrote down the Torah Shebaal Peh. Now, just as they wrote down the halachic part of Torah Shebaal Peh, they also had to write down the agadic part of Torah Shebaal Peh. However, they came, the Chachamim came to a big problem, because since the agadic part of Torah Shebaal Peh contains esoteric teachings, very deep esoteric teachings, which the Ramchal calls Sisrei Torah, and deep theological principles, which he calls Ikrei Ho'elokios, the Chachamim did not want to write these down, lest they become accessible to the coarse of mind and the flawed of character, that they'd be ridiculed and they'd be misunderstood and abused. So they were in a quandary. So what did they do? So the Ramchal teaches that they would therefore have to write this agadic material cryptically and as riddles. And what he calls the maftechas, the keys to understanding the agadita, these agaditas would be given only to the most worthy. And by keys, he means the principles of Kabbalah. They would be given only to the most worthy. Now, therefore, the Chachamim concealed these deep ideas, these deep concepts, in three ways. The first way, he says, by means of hashalos, borrowed expressions, or mashalim, analogies. In other words, by allegory and metaphor and allegory, in which events and deeds are ascribed to a person or thing for which these events or deeds are not suitable. For example, you have in the Gemara in Chulin Daf Samach, you have the argument of the Levana with the Kodesh Baruch Hu, that Ein Shnei Malachim Nishtam Shekesar Echad, that's pure, obvious allegory. I mean, and then all the Sipuri of Rabbi Baruch Hanna in Bava Basra, also fit into this category of mashalim, of metaphor, of allegory. For instance, one of the fifth sipur is that he describes seeing a frog as big as the town of Akra de Hagrunya, and that was a town with 60 houses. So he saw a frog as big as 60 area of 60 houses, which is obviously allegory. So that's the first way. Through mashal, through metaphor, through allegory. The second way of concealment is by what he calls helam, by omission, in which the sages don't mention the specific conditions in which their teaching applies. This leads to obvious obfuscation and error. For instance, the Gemara in Ksubas, Daf Kuf Yod Aleph, says that anyone who walks Dalet Amos in Eretz Yisrael is assured of achieving Olam Haba. What he leaves out, that's what they write. But what they leave out, it doesn't mean if you just live in Eretz Yisrael, you're Zeichet Olam Haba. It means that you live there and you internalize the sanctity of Eretz Yisrael by observing all the mitzvahs that are totally Ba'aretz, then you'll be Zeichet to Olam Haba. They leave things out. Now, this is more of a Pashat level, but it's obviously much deeper. And the third method of concealment is by what he calls kalos, simple saying, or folk sayings, simple trivial sayings. For instance, there's a Gemara in Shabbos, Kuf Nun Beis, which says, for that which I have not lost, I am searching. And the Arizal ascribes to these not lost items deep esoteric meanings. So only the righteous and the wise will be able to extrapolate the true meaning of such really strange sayings. For that which I have not lost, I am searching. So now let's look at our medrash. Where would you put our medrash in the scheme of things? You have this fantastic battle with these two gigantic creatures. You have their flesh, non-kosher, in one case being served to tzaddikim. It's like allegory. I mean, I'd be noted to say this is allegory. It's not; these aren't real creatures. Tzaddikim didn't really witness. I can't see the Rambam dying to see the fight to the death, and of course eating the treif of meat. So, at first blush, you would say that the our medrash fits into the first category of concealment, which is metaphor and allegory. However, the Shlach HaKadosh makes a very, very interesting statement. He says as follows: Ein mikra ve'ein divrei chazal yotzin midei pshuton. That any pasuk and any teaching of chazal cannot depart entirely from its pashut meaning, pashut pshat. Of course, it'll have multiple levels of meaning, but you also have to take into consideration the pashut pshat, and you can't dismiss the pashut pshat. And he applies that his statement, his dictum, to the following gemara. It's gemara in Mo'ikat and Yud Ches. The gemara says like this: Amar Rav Avital Safra Avital. The sofer says Mishmei the Rav. Paro Shahaya Bimei Moshe, the Paro who existed in the days of Moshe. Paro was a generic title for the king of Mitzrayim. Hu Amo, he was a Amo tall. Amo is a little less than 2 feet. Uskanoi Amo, and his beard was an Amo, 2 feet long. Uparmash Tokoi, and his male organ was an Amo Vazeris, an Amo and a half, like almost 3 feet. His aver was like 3 feet. L'kayem ma'ashenemer, in order to fulfill what's written in the pasuk in Daniel, u'shval anashim yikim aleha, which in translation means God rules over the kingdom of man and he appoints the lowest of men over it. So we have to interpret this pasuk literally, the lowest of men, the shortest, the tiniest of men. And Paro was 2 feet tall. We would say that the Shlach HaKadosh would learn our medrash literally, not like the implication we had from before from Ramchal. Maybe the Ramchal would learn it like it's only metaphor, but according to the Shlach HaKadosh, sounds like he would learn our medrash literally. Now there are those who say that when the Shlach says his rule that the Divrei Chazal can't be dismissed. It maybe it applies only to a straightforward piece of Agadita, like the Gemara in Moed Katan. He's 2 feet tall. He's 2 feet tall. But here we're talking about these fantastical things that are happening over here. So maybe he would be minded that's parable, that's allegory. But I don't think so. I mean, I've seen somebody say this, but I don't think it's the pshat. Because when the tzaddikim ask, how can you feed us this non-kosher flesh from the behemos? And Hashem answers, Chiddush Torah Me'iti Seitze. We're talking about a harasha, we're talking about halacha. This is a halacha statement. I'm issuing a harasha that you can eat it. So therefore, according to Shlach HaKadosh, at least, we could say that, and we're answering our first question, that the behemoth and the leviathan were actual creatures. And they actually fought a fight to the death. And they were, and their buser was actually fed to the tzaddikim, and therefore we have to go back to all the other original questions: what kind of a reward and spiritual delight is it to witness the fight, and what kind of a reward and spiritual delight is it to eat the non kosher flesh, and why does the eating need a harasha but not the witnessing of the spectacle need a harasha? which is because it's L'chair also Osir. Now this whole issue then, we want to set it up, we're setting it up, Shlo versus Ramchal, but it's actually a Machlokes Rishayim. The Rambam in Hilchos Teshuva, Perek Ches, he's talking about the reward that tzaddikim are going to enjoy in Ola, after they leave this world. And he says, in Halacha Dalet, he says, and he brings down the member of Rab, which we'll get to in a minute, that they, in Achilav, in Shtia, we'll get to that in a minute, but he says, and this reward has many names. It's called Har Hashem, and it's called Noyam Hashem, and it's called Shar Hashem, and other names, and it's called Olam Haba. And then he says a remarkable statement. I mean, it's a very, very clear statement of his opinion, where he stands on our issue. He says, V'chachamim Karai, all these other names were from the Ksuvi, from Tanakh. But he says, V'chachamim Karai, law, the Chachamim called this reward derech mashal, metaphorically, v'toyvezusha mezumenus latzadikim in olam haba. They call this reward that's awaiting the tzadikim in olam haba su'uda. They call it su'uda, derech mashal. The Rambam says the favorish, it's a derech mashal. The Rambam learns, like we would say, that we wanted to say in the Ramchal, that it's derech mashal.
You are listening to BensTorah.com.
In reaction to that, the Rashba, now this Rashba is in the Chiddush Al HaGadas, his Chiddushim Al HaGadas HaShas, or in Bava Basra, Ayin Dalet Amud Beis, but it's quoted Kimat Verbatim in Rebbeinu Bechaya, in to Bereshis, Perek Aleph, Pasuk Chaf Aleph, and in the Hakosev in Ein Yaakov on the Gemara in Bava Basra. So you can find it in any of those. I'm going to be reading from the Rebbeinu Bechaya, but it's Shevelt says that these words are mamish the words of the Rashba. I mean, I looked inside; they are the words of the Rashba. So, in reaction to the Rambam statement, the Rambam's opinion, the Rashba says, She'ein lo harkik liyos letzadikim lo'ilam haba suda kepashle advarim. It's not remote. It's not vite to say that the chamim will partake of an actual suda in olam haba. Pashle advarim shebo le'ravel seina b'medrashim v'hagadas. That the lashon that the rabbanan use in the medrash haggadahs, that they call it a suda. It's not right to say it's an actual suda. And now he quotes our medrash. Reb Brechi says, "Aristin gadol asid hakadosh baruch hu lasos tzedikim lasid lava pirsh aristin suda." And kol mishu didn't eat nevelus in this world will be zokot to eat from that suda. And now he's quoting the Gemara in Bava Basra, Meicher Sasfina, of Ayin Dalet, where it also talks about the Livyas and Behemoth and the Suda that Hashem is going to make from them. And this, now this, listen carefully, because this is really, really important. Metzino, Asid HaKadosh Baruch Hu Lasa Suda Tzadikim, Mipsaro Shal Livyasan, from the Hashem is going to make a suda from the flesh of the Livyasan. Lo amar mi Livyasan, ela mi psarai. So it doesn't say from the Livyasan, which means like the concept of Livya, the concept that he represents, but from the Basar. He's talking specifically about the Basar. From there we learn Kipshuta. He's going to serve the Basar of the Livyasan to Tzadikim. And now that this is really crucial. The Ein Tachlas Hakavana, Boso Hasuda. Kavanas Amaychol Vahamishta Levad Lemilui Hakeres Lanos Aguf Agaron, and the whole pshat of this eating is not to fill the belly and satisfy the palate. She'ain ze inyan olam haba. That's not what olam haba is about. Physical pleasure. Ella shekfar noida shebasivus hamaychol vahamishta yisayrim koyches aguf. Rather, and it's a well-known mitzvah, that from eating certain foods, there'll be a hisaris of certain kaychas of the guf, of the body, physical kaychas. Eating certain foods, like drinking wine, will make you happy. So eating and drinking certain foods will be misayir certain physical kaychas, will be hisayiris hakaychas hagufnios, and with the stimulation of these physical kaychas, yisayiru vizchazu gamken kaychas hanefesh. That will stimulate in turn kaychas hanefesh, more spiritual kaychas. Le'eze inyan sheyechaven alav ha'eichel. For whatever inyan that the one who's eating will be machaven. And he brings right away ke inyan hamatamim sheshol Yitzchak. Yitzchak, before he benched what he thought was Esav, he asked him to bring him matamim, and Yitzchak said, "Bavor tevarecha nashi." So that my nefesh will. It doesn't say. The Rashbo says it doesn't say that bavor that avarecha that I'll bench you. It says so that my soul can bench you. So you see, there's a two-step process over here. So the Rashbo holds clear that it seems to me that he's holding clear that this suda that they're going to eat from the Leviathan and the Behemoth will be, they will get a physical benefit from it, which in turn will stimulate a spiritual kaychas. And we'll get into that in a minute. But Rashba finishes off, I mean, there's a lot here, but I just the last thing I want to bring from here is he has a problem, of course, which I mentioned before, the memory of Rav. Rav says, Olam haba ein bo lo achila v'lo shtiyah. In Olam haba, there's no eating and drinking. It's all pure ethereal pleasure. There's no eating, no physical pleasure at all. So what is the Rashba? So what is this is a Gemara. So what does the Rashba do about this? So he writes, and this is also very crucial. Perhaps this suda, which is waiting in the future for the tzaddikim, tiyeba seif hazman hat shenoig bo inyan peulos gufnios b'maychol mishnah. Perhaps this is going to occur toward the end of the period of Olam Haba, where people are still eating. In other words, Olam Haba will have two stages, he's going to say. It'll have two stages. The first stage, people will continue to eat and drink. And that's when this suda is going to occur, and it will be an actual achila. Ba'achreya, and afterwards, yizbatel mihem hanihu gahu, and afterwards this mahalach will be batel. V'yeh yoshvim v'atosem v'roshem, and then zivashkeinu. So and I'm going with the Rashba. From now on, the shir is going to go to answer all the questions and explain the measure. It'll all be lefi the Rashba. So it's important to keep in mind that the suda we're talking about is in the first stage of Olam Haba, where there still is eating and drinking. However, this eating and drinking is going to be not stam for pleasure. It'll be to be ma'ir kaychas nafshi. Okay, so that being the case, they are eating these two types of maichel, the Leviathan and the Behemoth. Each one is going to be a certain koyach nafshi. And we wanted to discuss and try to figure out what is the uftu? What are they going to gain from eating these? What are the tzaddikim going to gain from eating these and being kind of these two critical spiritual potencies, these two kochos nafshios? From here to the end, we're going to be sort of riding the tale of Reb Tzadok HaKohen as he appears in the Pri Tzadok and the Likutei Ma'amarim and various writings. He doesn't address my issue, but I'm taking from his writings and putting together a whole picture and perhaps come out with a mahalach to answer the questions that we posed initially. Okay. First of all, Reb Tzadok writes, Yidua d'yesh beiz minei yetzahara. It's Yidua that there's two types of yetzahara. In other words, the yetzahara has two fundamental manifestations. Koyach hakasani v'atavani. the koyach of kas and the koyach of taiva. Yetzirah is manifest either as kas or as taiva. And he says further, Kfar Amarnu, and we've already said, Mi'inyan Milchamas Leviasan Mishur Abar, Sheba Medrash Rava. Now he's going to apply this idea to our Medrash. Ki Haleviasan Sharish Yetzirah Tataiva. Now he's identifying specifically that the Leviasan is the Sharish of the Yetzirah of Taiva. B'shor habar hu shorish yetzahara dekas v'ritzicha. And the shor habar is the shorish of the yetzahara of anger and its concomitant killer instinct, ritzicha. And then in various places he proves this. Here and in other places he proves this. How does he prove it? Very interesting how he does it. So the Leviathan personifies, embodies, in mamish the personification of taiva, which is impure lust, impure passion. Because Mitzrayim is called twice in the Torah Ervas Haaretz, the carnality of the earth, and Paro, who is king and represents the nation, he embodies the character of the nation. Paro is called Leviathan. In other words, Mitzrayim is Erva. Paro represents and embodies the character of Mitzrayim, so he's their erva, and he is called Leviathan. Where is he called Leviathan? The Reb Tzadik brings two pasukim. One pasuk is in Tehillim. Pasuk says, "Ato ritzasta roshei Leviathan." You crushed, talking about Hashem. You crushed the head of the Leviathan, and Rashi over there says the Leviathan is a reference to Paro. So Rashi, according to Rashi, Leviathan here in this pasuk is Paro. And the second pasuk is in Yeshaya. Leviathan nachash bariach, Leviathan the bar-like serpent, and the Targum Yonasim says the Leviathan in this pasuk refers to Paro. So you have two psukim that are calling Paro Leviathan, and Paro again represents Taiva, the Koyach of Taiva. And then the other proof that Rav Tzadik brings is that the Gemara, that we finally get to that Gemara in Bava Basra in Mechas HaSfina, where it says that Kodesh Baruch Hu talks about a lot of things about the Leviathan and the Behemoth, but what it talks about is, what I'm bringing now, is that Hashem created them as couples. In other words, he created a male and a female Leviathan, and a male and a female Behemoth. So, he saw that the world couldn't exist if they were allowed to procreate. You'd have these monstrous creatures just destroying the world. Their pure size, they're so ravenous, they would eat up everything. They would destroy the world. So the Gemara says, what did HaKadosh Baruch Hu do? He castrated the male Leviathan and the male Behemoth. He castrated both males, and He cooled down the ardor, the passion of the female Behemoth, and he killed the female Leviathan. So the Gemara asks, why didn't he just cool down her passion? What did he have to kill her for? He killed, Abishah killed her and then salted her and then kept her, preserved it for the feast, Lasi Lava. So the Gemara asks, well, why did he have to kill her? Just cool her down. So the Gemara answers, and this is what Reb Tzadik is bringing, Dugim Pritze. The Dugim, fish are unrestrained in their sexual desires, in their sexual appetites. And therefore Hashem had to actually kill the female Leviathan, and not just cool her down. It would be impossible. Cooling her down wouldn't be enough. Parenthetically, it's really like... Maybe the Gemara, I can't remember, the Gemara, if he's already castrated the males, what do you have to do anything to the females? So, and what about the Behemoth? What's the raya that the Behemoth is the shayrish of the kayach of Kas and Ritzicha? So this is a Gemara in Brachas, Dav Samach Aleph. The Gemara is saying, Elameata, what would you infer? Behemoth leisla yitzra? A Behemoth has no yetzer hara, has no inclination to be mazik. We've seen. I mean, the Maisa B'chol Yom. The mask of a Nashka Uba'ata. We see that it damages and it bites and it kicks. So from here, Reb Tzadok, and then the whole Indian of Yigach, the Negicha, Ashur is a damager. A Behema is a damager. So we have these two shrushim. The Leviathan is the kayach of taiva, and the behemah is the kayach of kas. Okay. Every morning in Shacharis, we say the pasuk va'ato mechaya es kulam, and you give life to them all. This is actually a pasuk in Nehemiah, ninth parak, which means that, as Reb Tzadok explains all over in his works, that Hashem implants in every being what he called, the language is a nitzot of kedusha, a spark of holiness. I don't know how you're going to learn it. You can learn it. It's simply the Ratzon Hashem that Hashem exists. Nothing can exist unless a Kodesh Baruch Hu wants it to exist. And that Ratzon, you could say it this way, that he wants that every this chair, this piece of paper, everything, it exists because the Ratzon should exist. In every klipa, now we're getting into a little language of Kabbalah, but in every klipa, embedded in every klipa, there's a nitzos of kedusha, which is machaya d'zach. Okay. So this is, I want to say that the death struggle between the klipa of taiva, which is the leviosan, and the klipa of kas, which is the shor abar, the death struggle between them, and they both die, is really the liberation of the spark of holiness that is machaya each one. And this is a gewaldig zach. Meaning, if you take out the spark of holiness, then the klipa, the impurity, this entity of impurity implodes. So this is a glorious thing. This is something that the tzaddikim will want to see. It's a fitting reward for them. And therefore, you don't need, this will answer one of our questions, you don't need harasha for this. This is beautiful. So this is what they want. So that answers one of our questions. It's the fight to the death is the release of the nitzotze kedusha that are machaya these two kaychas. Now, what you're left with after the fight is the holy spark of taiva and the holy spark of kas. What is the nature? What is the holy spark? What lemaisa is the holy spark of taiva? So I'm now going to access Reb Tzadok in Likutei Ma'amorim, and he explains it. Klor. He's talking about Golus Mitzrayim, and Golus Mitzrayim is the paradigm for all Golus that we go through. So he writes like this: Hine kol inyani Golus Yisrael lahaitzi hanitzas kedusha shejekua beklipa besayd ba'ata mechayes kulam. The whole point of every Golus, you probably heard this before. The whole point of every Golus is to extract from the host country the nitzos of kedusha that's mechaya that country, and therefore, when we take that out, the country implodes. The biggest, all the ancient nations don't exist anymore. Spain, once they kicked out the Jews, became from a world power to a nothing. So that is to take out the holy spark. The Esek Yisrael with Mitzrayim. And the business that Yisrael had to do in Mitzrayim, Shehu Erbas Haaretz, which is the carnality of the earth, Hu Kidei Lasaken Pagam HaBris, is the Masakim, the blemish of the Bris, the Bris Mila, which is, in other words, to be Masakim, the Klipa of Taiva. Now he says that we won't entirely be Masakim. So he writes, But me Klipa Sataiva Yushar Lo'asid Gamken Eza Hashara. There'll be some left over from this klipa, sataiva la'asi lavo, and that will be embodied by the leviosan. Then he writes, and because there's a hashara of the klipa sataiva, of the purity of taiva, so therefore, kein yushar mimenu hacheshik lachamida de'iraisa, shelatachis zed nivra. The spark, he's identifying now the spark of holiness that is Machai, the Klipas HaTaiva, is the Chemita Deiraisa, the visceral passion for Torah, for learning Torah. And that's the whole point of the Yetzer Hara, was created. The Yetzer Hara of Taiva was created only that we should have. In other words, there's a medrash in Tanchuma in Parshas Noach. The Yidden are complaining to Hashem. You know, we do Averis, but the Yetzer Hara made us do it. And Hashem says to the back, you say it's Ra, you made it Ra. Meaning to say, I think, that Taiva is neutral. You can have Taiva for good things, you can have Taiva for bad things. So Taiva, you'll see in a minute, the whole in. V'ken yushar menu ta'uzeh, k'moshe kasa, v'yumola yetzahara chenvesa deshmaitzel lo lihave. Without the yetzahara, there would be no passion for Torah. The ikar ha-yetzah nivra shiyeh cheshik le-divrei Torah. The perish yetzah hu cheshik. The very definition of the word yetzah is passion, desire. So you can have good desire, you can have bad desire. And then he summarizes it again very succinctly. I'll just read it. Zeh ha'yikar ha'machuvin begolus Mitzrayim lahaitzi anitzas kedusha shehu chamida de'araisa shu tov the Mitzrayim klipas ha'taiva. The whole point of going to Mitzrayim is to extract the needs of kedusha of the Eretz Ha'aretz. But even though that land is the most tamidik land in the whole world, but there is a spark of holiness that gives it light, existence, and that's the passion for Torah. And that's why, this is just parenthetically, I have a whole essay on this, but that's why they had to make the yeshiva in Goshen, because that's what Paro, the Frida Gapar, gave to Sari Menu as an achuz asylum, and he to express his impure love for her. And that's why Yaakov had to send Yehuda the king to found the yeshiva in Goshen, and not Levi the Rosh Hashiva. Rambam says Lahedya, Levi was the Rosh Hashiva. Yehuda, of course, is the king. He sent the king because to be Mekayim, Yenatzlu Es Mitzrayim. They plundered Mitzrayim. What was the plunder? They took out the Koltuv Mitzrayim, which was this Nitzos Kedusha of Chemida Deoraisa. This is the nature of the holy spark of Taiva. Now, what about Kas? This blew my mind when I'm working on this. I want to tie it like this. The holy spark of Kas, embedded in the Behemoth, is Chokmah, is wisdom. Because the Pasuk in Kohelet says, Ki b'roiv Chokmah rov Kas. With much wisdom is much anger, which Reb Tzadok HaKohen interprets to mean Haroiv kas mevi lidei rov chachma shehu tarshabal peh. That the rov, that the much anger brings to much wisdom, which is the tarshabal peh. Mamisha pliyadik a statement. Mamisha pliyadik yisoids. So Reb Nachum Lansky explained this to me. He's I think, in my opinion, like perhaps the greatest Baal Machshava in America, the Rosh Hashiva in Ner Yisrael. Reb Nachum explained to me like this. Anger stems from dikduk, gvuros, esh, hakpada. It's dikduk, exactness. You're exacting. Gvuros, strength, might. Esh, a fiery temperament. And hakpada, it means insistence to be my way. Strictness, insistence. Well, anger stems from these midos. And chachma, deriving wisdom, is the application of dikduk and gvuros and esh and hakpada to plumb the halacha, the body of halacha, in all its details. In other words, to go down deep and deep and deep and bring out, extract the kol prate pratim shel halacha. We take this spark of holiness of kas and use it to be as a prowess. It becomes a prowess for us to learn Torah Shebaal Peh. So therefore, in conclusion, I would like to say that by feasting on the flesh of the Leviathan and the Behemoth in the Lasig Lava, the righteous will ingest a pure desire for the Torah Shebaal Peh, That's the chamida de'oraisa, the eating by eating the flesh of the leviathan, and the prowess, the capability to plumb its profundities, which is the dikduk and gvuras esh, etc. And this too is a fitting reward from them, because this will be you're going to ask Tersha Baal Peh. What about Rav's Memra? That's mamish, direct knowledge from Shem. Ziva Shechina. No, we're talking about, this is in the Rashba, we're talking about the first period. I'm tying in the first period, they're going to still be learning Tersha Baal Peh, obviously in a much deeper, much more intensive level. But they're still going to be learning Tersha Baal Peh, because the Iker wisdom that Adam derives is with the Tersha Baal Peh. It's through his limud of Tersha Baal Peh. And they'll be given extraordinary kaychas to do that. Moreover, attaining this prowess justifies God's proclaiming Torah Chadashim Eiti Seitzei, that this Torah Shah that they can eat the basar of the non kosher shorabar, because the yetzer of anger embedded in the behemoth non kosher flesh will be sublimated to a holy purpose, which is to plumb the halacha for the kol prate pratim shahalacha.
You have been listening to a presentation of BensTorah.com.